Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are just so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. Tonight, we have a very special guest. So, Valerie Smith has a very interesting story. On the heels of a successful 2021 that saw her critically acclaimed album, Renaissance, topped nearly every chart across multiple genres, Grammy-nominated American roots artist Valerie Smith has revealed that she has much more in store for her 18th studio album. She's a bluegrass veteran, and she's going to release a new single and video from her record right now in February.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Valerie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I feel so honored. I love your music, and this is just wonderful to be able to visit with you about songwriting.
No, I'm the one who's honored. I'm looking at your stuff and all these folk and all these different genres that you're charting, and it's like you are where I aspire to be, so it's just great to have you on the show.
Well, as I was reading your information, listening to your music, I saw a lot of similarities with our career paths, and I immediately felt like, you know, we were going to hit it off really well on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell the audience a little bit about your story. When did you start playing and why?
Well, from the time I was just a young, like 5 years old, I grew up in the middle of Missouri, a small town of 300 called Holt, Missouri, farm town. Wasn't a lot to do out there. And music chose me. I was extremely dyslexic, and so school was not a great experience. At the time, they didn't know really what dyslexia was. And so the language of music was a language that I could really understand, and I globbed onto it, music and art. And I fell in love with it, and music, and I've had a relationship ever since. And I would go for long walks along the pastures of Missouri, and we had a big farm, and a lot of music would just come to my head. And as a kid, I would just start making up melodies and songs every day. And my first guitar was a Stella guitar. And I remember the janitor at the elementary school in Holt, Missouri, sold me a Mel Bay book and a Stella guitar for $2. And I just started learning the guitar in my mom's kitchen. I've come from a really small home, and I'd sit in the kitchen floor where my mom would cook, and I would, you know, try to strum out songs from the Mel Bay book. And then one thing led to another of just writing songs as a kid. And
wow.
And the joy of music. Awesome. I've never walked away from it since. I tell a lot of people that music will never let you down if you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, I think you are 100% right. My big regret in life, which I guess I took care of, but is that I never did it. And I'm so happy that 8 years ago, unfortunately, it took my father passing away for me to start. But I think you're right. Start. Do it. You got nothing to lose. It doesn't matter if people make fun of you. It doesn't, you know, if your heart's in it and if you keep at it, you're just going to get better and better.
Yeah, it's like any other occupation or thing that you want to do. It just takes practice and persistence and finding your voice and what fits you and who you are. And before you know it, you sometimes run across the music that fits you like an old shoe.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I, you know, there's no manual. I don't know about you. I wasted so much time trying things that I shouldn't have, trying to be with people, what I thought they wanted me to be. I think it really does take you 10 years to become an expert in anything. And it's probably true in music too, but you just got to be true to yourself and eventually it'll come. And if it doesn't, as long as you're true to yourself, it doesn't matter.
Right. You have to ultimately live, you know, with the decisions that you make, and whatever music or art you may create today is art that you'll have to look at 15, 20, you know, 50 years down the road. So you better make sure that that's what you really wanted to say with your life.
Yeah, I love that. Make sure that's what you wanted to say with your life. That sounds like a song. I think we have to collaborate.
Okay, you gotta write the song.
And I think we have to, like, do something with that.
Or we could co-write it. That would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always up for co-writing. So tell us about any famous musicians you admire.
There are so many. You know, being in the Midwest, I grew up with, it's a melting pot there in Missouri. And I grew up listening to a large array of music and styles, anything from blues to classic country, jazz, you know, opera. Musicals were on our television on Sundays, you know, and I would watch Julie Garland. And I think bluegrass came later on in my life when I just felt like it was such a pure form of music, and I love acoustic sounds. And I was more drawn to the honesty of the lyrics and the words of bluegrass and folk music and country. And that's where I ended up in my playing field, although I did study art and blues and stuff like that in college.
Yeah, okay. How often do you practice and how long do you practice?
Well, I used to practice a lot more.
the older I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you.
The older I get, the busy. You know, I don't call it practice. I call it creating. And I never have looked at it as practice because I love it so much. And so it's never been a chore because it's an extension of who I am. And
sure.
For me to play music or sing is just a joy. And it's like eating every day. You know, hopefully you enjoy what you eat. And music's the same way for me. So I probably practice a lot more hours than I realize at times. But I do, you know, I own a record label for 30 years because I wanted to release my own intellectual property the way I wanted it, the way I envisioned my career. And I didn't want someone giving me boundaries and saying, you can't try this or you can't try that. And so I also am very, very busy with other artists.
Okay. How do you balance that? Is it a challenge to try not to see yourself too much in them, or, you know, versus coaching them versus letting them do their own thing? Like, that's got to be tough to juggle.
I try to put myself in their shoes and understand where they are in their career and understand how I felt at that time in my career. I'm very careful about not inserting myself into their music. Usually the artists that I work with have their own voice, and it's just my job to help them bring that voice out and be heard.
Okay, fair enough. Tell us about your process. How does it work? Do you come up with a drum groove, a melody, get your guitar? How does it start?
Well, it's very organic. It can come up any of those ways. But for the most part, I find melody is the forerunner of the song when I first start, but also my emotion goes with that melody of what I may be feeling. And I may not be able to put it in words right away, what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing and what I want to teach others around me about that.
Yeah.
And I find that the main words and melody will come together, and then I'll go back and write a poem form, and I'll fit it to the melodies, and I'll just, it's like a sculpture. You just keep shaping and shaping and shaping until the listener hears and sees, almost is able to visualize what you're singing about and talking about.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it. Is there a certain instrument that you always use or one that you never use?
Well, I use piano. I love writing songs on the piano because of the range of, I have a better sense of chord progressions on the piano, so I'm able to be more creative. But sometimes I'll write on the guitar if I want a certain feel to the song or a certain texture. And it's like taking a paintbrush and deciding which paintbrush works best on
sure.
that process, the song that you're writing, and what you want people to see.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give an up-and-comer, someone who's just getting started? Any specific advice you'd give them?
Love music enough to be strong and be honest and true to yourself. Love it enough to work hard so others see your vision and that you touch people in a good way that helps them understand more about being human. And as long as you're true to yourself and your art and your music, you can stand any kind of challenge that you have in front of you, because music will never let you down. Society and people can sometimes. That's just the way we are. We knock each other around often in the industry, I think. But always do not get that confused with music. That's the music business, and that's the industry. That's human nature. But music is no part of that. When you create music, you create it to create something that is unique and of yourself, and be proud of it.
Yeah, that sounds like great advice. Tell us a little bit about the song we're going to hear in a minute here. What do you want us to understand from it, take from it?
Well, it was a really interesting last 6 years of my life. I think we go through stages where we change, and the way we look at the world, you know, becomes different, the way we look at ourselves in the world and what we want for the future. And I'm 55, and life is so precious, and I don't want to waste that. And so about 6 years ago, I found this journal. Well, my cousin did, from my great-great-grandmother, Maggie Atterbury Brooks. And it was a story that was amazing, and it was discovered in her attic of her house. And they gave me the journal, and I read it. And there were several facts in this journal that the family did not know about her early life. And what I read was just surprising, shocking, sad, and touching. It was post-Civil War time. And she very vividly describes what her childhood was like during that time and what it was like being a woman. And as I read it, I began to feel music with her stories in this journal. And one evening, one morning I had a dream, and the dream was so vivid. And I woke up with this incredible message from her saying the world would be cruel to me. And the music was just right there. And I immediately got on the piano, and I feel like she co-wrote this with me. And that's where I started writing the Maggie's Journal musical, folk bluegrass opera. And this song was one of them that came out of it. She, you know, through all of her challenges and through her turbulent journey, she became very successful. She became one of the first businesswomen in the state of Missouri. She owned a general store. She owned a hotel. But as she said in her journal, that not a lot of jobs were, there weren't a lot of job opportunities for women back in those days. And she said that becoming a general store owner and selling things was her passion. And she started making money, which she had never made money before. She was so poor. They lived in the middle of a cornfield in a tent. And she said, you know, a dollar looked mighty good. And I thought, wow, what a lesson to teach us all. And a dollar looked mighty good. And I wrote the song, and I put it on the Renaissance album, not this Maggie's Journal that is not released yet, because I felt like I was having a renaissance reading her stories and journal, and I was growing into the person that perhaps I was meant to be. And I took her advice. And so that goes to show you that your loved ones from the dead can actually reach out and influence you greatly.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen to your song, and then we will talk some more, okay?
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Here we go, everybody. Check this out.
Change, change is coming, and you know what's done is done. Strange, now I'm running from the darkness to the sun. I'm on my own, and I'm free, and I'll never feel these chains again wrapped around. Wasn't much to some, but this some I understood. It was the first step towards forever, and that dollar looked mighty good, mighty good. Rain washes footprints and rust the revolver's gleam. Pain won't hold tomorrow. You underestimated me. I'm on my own and I'm free. And I'll never feel these chains again wrapped around me. It wasn't much to some, but there's some I understood. It was the first step towards forever, and that dollar looked mighty good, mighty good. Some I understood. It was the first step toward forever, and that dollar looked mighty good, mighty
Valerie, that was really cool. I want to thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you for letting me share that.
You're welcome.
I think these stories are meant to be shared.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have something exciting happening this year that you want to share with the fans?
I think that the release of Renaissance was very exciting to me to see it appear on a large amount of genre of charts. I think my whole life, that was a goal that I had because I love all music and I fit in. I'm a cross between country and bluegrass and roots and sure. folk. And, you know, marketing is an art as well. And it really felt like I had come to terms with my music and my art when I was able to see that audience accepted my sound and my music. And there's a sense of accomplishment with that. And I think that the Maggie's Journal, it took me 7 years to finish that folk opera, the folk opera, I'm sorry. And it's right now, it's still in the stages of all the paperwork that goes with finding someone's journal and getting approval from family members. And I can't wait to see where that road brings me. That was something that I never dreamed that I would ever do. But with my great-grandmother's help, I did it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is
I have some shows coming up too.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sorry, I probably went a little deep with that.
No problem. What is the craziest thing you've ever done in your life that you are willing to admit on a public radio show?
Oh, no. You know, I've been known to be a crazy person on the road. I love doing practical jokes. Well, let's see. I do a lot of crazy. I'm trying to think of which one I should talk about.
I can tell. Have to add this. You're on the choosing your words carefully. Yeah.
I am a jokester, and some people may think my practical jokes are kind of mean. I just like to laugh on the road and have a good time. And wherever I go, overseas or wherever, I just bring it all in. And I love for others around me to laugh. And again, I say life is short, so what do you have to lose? But one time I was on the bus, and my manager and bus driver, he had diabetes. And he also had heart problems. And he had gotten out of the hospital, and we were all trying to keep him from eating sugar. The guy could not get enough, you know, cookies. And I would worry about him eating that much on the road because I didn't want him to die. And so it was against the rules for him to be given candy and cookies. And I had this, I won't say the fiddle player's name because he's pretty popular and he worked for me for years. And he was young at the time, and he snuck my manager and bus driver, he snuck him a pack of cookies. And, you know, he took the cookies out of his hand, and I went, oh, no, no, no. And so when this young man went back to the back of the bus, I said, pretend you eat the cookies. And then when he comes up here, say that you can't see the road now because you're blinded because you're because the diabetes and blood pressure. Oh no.
Poor
and
guy.
It was like really like 2 a.m. in the morning and nobody was on the road. We were in the middle of nowhere. And I said, then start swerving the bus like you can't see.
Oh man.
And I said, I'll go to the back and he'll just be up there trying to figure out how he's going to help you.
Yeah, poor guy.
And he starts saying, I can't see the road. And this poor fiddle player was going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I snuck up to the front, and then the guitar player snuck him and said, what did you do? Did you give him cookies? And he goes, I did, but I didn't know. And suddenly we all started laughing, and he knew he'd been had. And of course, he didn't speak to me for about a month.
Yeah.
But I do other crazy things. I love to travel. When I was in Switzerland, I saw a big old hill, and you know, at the time I was 36, probably wasn't good for my body or bones. And I just remember rolling down the hill because I thought Switzerland was so amazing, that hill, but it really hurt. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. And Switzerland is amazing.
I do play old time fiddle. I've been known to jump on tables in bars and dance while I play and sing. And I've never fallen yet. So there you go.
Yet.
You know.
Yet.
I don't know if I would do it now, though. It might, you know, be a bad thing if I fell these days, but
yeah.
I've had a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad. Before we let you go, please, where can people buy your music, stream it? What do you want to share with the fans out there?
Well, they can stream it off of iTunes, Spotify, any of those streaming services, Amazon. They can also visit my website, thevaleriesmith.com. I have a store there, and you can actually download from my store the singles or the full album. And I'm easy to find out there. You just have to look under Valerie Smith, maybe put a little comma, bluegrass.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Valerie, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was really cool, and I hope you had a good time.
Well, I really did. And thank you for having me on your show. And I look forward to hearing more of your music in the future.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. So thank you, everyone out there, for spending a little time with Valerie and I tonight. We hope, and I hope, that your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here on The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Well, tonight I'm going to leave you with one of my songs. It's a new age song from a few years ago called Close Your Eyes. Close your eyes and take a listen. Have a great night, everyone. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.